Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Catholic retailers, business owners, and ministry leaders. Don't miss the Catholic Marketing Network Momentum 2019 event. Attend seminars that teach how to apply best business practices to any kind of business or ministry. Experience one-of-a-kind networking opportunities and browse the trade show exhibit hall full of Catholic resources and gifts from all over the world. Visit CatholicMarketing.com trade show page to find out how you can be a part of this event that helps Catholics build personal and professional momentum. Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger. Today with us, we have Susan Tassone. She's been a long-time passionate champion for the Holy Souls in Purgatory and is recognized as leading a worldwide purgatory movement. The award-winning author of 10 bestsellers, including the St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, Susan makes speaking appearances throughout the country. She's a frequent and popular guest on national radio and television programs, as well as social media. Susan holds a master's degree in religious education from Loyola University Chicago and had the honor and privilege of being granted two private audiences with St. John Paul II, who bestowed a special blessing on her and her ministry for the Holy Souls. Today we'll be discussing her new book, Day by Day with St. Faustina, 365 Reflections. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Pete, it's an honor. I've seen your name everywhere, and I've always been interested in doing a show with you. And I saw you did a review, and I was just tickled. And thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome. It's good to have you. And this was a fantastic book. So I guess to start off and set our conversation up today, why is Faustina someone today's audience should be interested in reading about?
That's a good question, and it's an important question because, you know, Pete, if you think about it, I feel that Faustina's message was, she was really forward-thinking, and really I think she was more intended for our time, because when she was, you know, writing in her diary and, you know, she was in a convent. So that message really didn't get spread, you know, as wide and far until after she died. So I think her message is perfectly suited to the issues that are roiling our country today, because, you know, you did this great interview with my good buddy Bert Gezzi. So many of us are angry, and sadly, often with people we love, because they don't see the world as we want them to see it. And I think Faustina gives us a path to follow. She says, follow God's will, be merciful with yourself and others, forgive yourself and others, and share disagreements without becoming disagreeable. And I think we can all turn to this Divine Mercy message for the advice that she gives us and the comfort and of course, our Lord's direction and the words that he gave her.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree totally. It's her message is so timely for what our country's going through as a society today.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see it as much as when I started to work on the different books I did, and it's so relevant, and that's what's in our day by day, the messages, and they're so applicable. We've already sold 10,000 copies, Pete, in 8 weeks, so that tells you something.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, Pete, but she's one of the most Googled saints on the internet.
I did not.
Yes, she is. She's one of the most Google saints. One of my good Marian friends, a priest up in Stockbridge, it told me this in terms of books, in terms of medals, in terms of statues, in terms of pictures. She's number one. So she's our high-techie saint for the 21st century.
So out of all the saints and mystics that we have in the Catholic tradition, and there's a number of them, what draws you to Saint Faustina?
Well, you know, Pete, now I didn't dub myself this. This is for the record. I didn't call myself. I think I'll call myself the Purgatory Lady. In fact, no one, you know, people think I did. No, if you don't mind me sharing this with you, it was Father, my good friend, and he never lives it down when I see him at EW10. It was Father Anthony that came up with this, and I was minding my own business, and I was on the grounds at EW10 doing a show, and he happened to be down the road a piece, and he saw me, and he started waving, "There's the Purgatory Lady," and I looked at him, I go, and then that was it. All of EW10, that became my brand. I'm going to have to wear a name tag when I get upstairs so they know who I am, but my work and my passion is purgatory. And so how do I, you know, reconcile, if you will, purgatory with Faustina? And I really never intended to veer away, which I haven't, because when I was approached by the Marians, they said to me, no one's really delved into her devotion to the souls in purgatory. And I knew that there was a devotion because I'd gone through the diary. She had all great saints have a great devotion, if you think about it. And they asked me if I would be able to glean out those, you know, those messages and experiences and what she said and her prayers. And so that's what got me going, was that connection. Now, and I thought I was done, but they swung back again, the Marians, and said, well, you know, she really, one of her other missions besides mercy, Pete, was conversion. And I, again, in the back of my head was, I don't want to veer away unless I really feel called to. But, you know, what's the connection between purgatory and conversion? Another big theme in her diary that wasn't fleshed out. And, of course, I had to think about it. And, well, you have to convert in order to avoid purgatory. So I thought, okay, we can do this. And that book came out, St. Faustina, Prayer Book for the Conversion of Sinners. And they swung back again, Pete, and asked me about, you know, she's called St. Faustina of the Blessed Sacrament. I said, yes, I'm aware of that from all the research I've done. And they wanted me to pull out again those themes and that devotion she had. And what was adoration all about? And we came out with St. Faustina Prayer Book for Adoration, because how is purgatory connected with adoration? Well, when you adore, you know, you're able, you release souls and relieve souls from purgatory. Adoration is one of the pillars. So they were all connected with purgatory, and that's how it came to be. and all three, actually, I called them the trilogy, Pete. All three won awards from the Catholic Press Association, so I was just tickled. They're excellent works. And she's down the road, as you know, she's going to be a doctor of the church. So now we have some extensive writings pulled out and fleshed out in terms of her devotion, the prayers, and what they all mean in these works.
So what is it that drew you to writing this particular book? Because it's obviously a little different than the other ones you've written.
Yeah, excellent question. I thought I was done. You know, I thought I wasn't going to hear from Father anymore. Stockbridge, there was the phone. But this time it was a conversation I had, Pete, with the Daughters of St. Paul. A good friend, Sister Margaret Carey, she's on Twitter. I think you probably have seen her feed. I've known Marg for years, really, when I first started to talk about purgatory. In fact, if you don't mind me veering off, you know, I had gone to her because they have a store here in Chicago on Michigan Avenue to learn more about purgatory. And she, you know, I walked in and I said, you know, do you have anything on purgatory? And she goes into the basement, literally. There were steps that were going down the basement. I heard her creaking down the stairs, and she comes climbing up, and I'm like, and she holds this one book, and she goes, here it is. I go, what's that? She goes, our founder, Father Alberoni, had a great love for the souls of purgatory, and she hands me the book, and that book was really drew me into, you know, the explanation of purgatory and the depth of it, and then things went 20 years later, here I am. But again, back to the Daughters of St. Paul, I was on the phone with Sister Margaret, and because she's no longer here, she's somewhere South Carolina, I think. But she told me, Pete, that people come into their store with the diary and tell them that they read it and they don't know what to do with it. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And then another friend of mine said that she and her husband listened to the diary in their car. And after this, after they listened through it, now, she didn't know what I learned from Sister. She said, you know, Susan, when I read the diary, we wonder, well, what do we do now? And I thought, oh, my gosh. Then, Pete, the Divine Mercy Shrine staff, the gift shop up in Stockbridge, I called one day for some books, and they asked me what I was doing because they know me, and I said, I'm working on it day by day. And she said, are you sure you're doing that? I said, well, I signed a contract, and I'm not going to purgatory for this, but yes, I am. She said, because people call in, Pete, and they ask if they have a day by day. So I'm happy to say that Day by Day with St. Faustina is a comprehensive introduction to her writing, and it's a solid answer for those asking how to apply her teaching an example in daily life. So I'm really pleased and grateful that the result is a book that doesn't have just a little something for everybody. It has a lot of something for all of us, no matter how familiar or unfamiliar you are with the diary of this great saint. And of course, in the book, I make sure that we cover the fundamentals of the Divine Mercy message, which is the chaplet, the novena, the image, trust, the works of mercy. So if you've not read the diary, it'll help you walk through it. Mm-hmm. It'll help you understand these essential elements. And if you read the diary, it will help you apply it as well. So that's how this book came to be.
So you kind of touched on it there a bit, but let's get a little deeper here. What makes this book unique? How does it stand out? Because there's obviously other books out there about St. Faustina, but what makes this one different?
And that's why, you know, Mike, that's one of the questions I ask myself when I'm doing a book. One of my careers was in advertising. I worked for an ad agency, and I remembered one of the copy editors telling me he was writing about he was writing copy for a bank, and I says, well, how do you write, what do you do? And he said, we have to figure out why this bank is different from other banks, because all the banks have the same services. What does this make? And I never forgot that, and I asked this to myself every time I do a book, what is this going to do? Is it different? And publishers say the same thing. What makes it so unique? Well, number one, a day by day has never been done before, and we walk you through the diary, which no one's done. And it was, believe me, it was very extensive and very, intense, Pete. So the book takes you through the whole diary. It's readable. It's prayable. It's usable. It actually helps you to become a saint. It literally unlocks the secrets of sanctity. She shares that, what God is calling you to be and how to grow in your love in Divine Mercy every day. In addition, Pete, the book is done liturgically. You can pick up the book any time of the year and focus on that particular month tied into the liturgical season. And I was speaking to Dan Burke, who's the executive director for the National Catholic Register. Mm-hmm. He liked the book because many people, you know, are not tied in liturgically every day with the church. And I like that, too, because you've got, you know, March is focused on Lent and the Passion. May is all about Our Lady and the virtues that are dear to her and God. November, of course, is focused on purgatory. And December includes love incarnate. So that's one of the things that make it unique. Another thing, Pete, that really jumped out at me as I was writing the work, Pete, I discovered something. There are key themes in the diary that are repeated over and over and over again. So I did not pick out arbitrary quotes. I didn't flip open the diary and say, I like this or I like that. Hmm. No, there were major themes that were scattered. There are major themes that are in the diary, but they were scattered throughout the diary. And I took them and I put them in an organized fashion and wove them throughout the book. Now, why were they scattered, Pete? Because it's a diary. Mm-hmm. And when you write a diary, every day it's just your thoughts and your feelings and your experiences for the day. So there's all kinds of things that you cover. So that's what I did. So the reflections and the prayers, they're fresh, they're original. And, you know, in order to for an art form to speak to today's modern world, it has to draw from a universal theme and present them in a fresh way. So this book does that. I fleshed out the teachings, and I put it in contemporary language, and I used images and eye-open analogies and reflections to help you apply them in your life. So I hope you're going to ask me the question, what are the key themes? Because I'm sure people are sitting there listening to this and go, well, what are they?
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll answer that question. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. Today we've been spending it with Susan Tassone talking about her book Day by Day with St. Faustina, 365 Reflections. And in that last segment, we left on a cliffhanger. Susan, so can you tell us what themes did you find that were common throughout the diary?
Pete, this was just an incredible discovery. I'm sure they were there. I just didn't see them until I was pouring through the book. But the key themes that were repeated over and over again were these: Holy Communion, confession, adoration, praying for the dying was huge, and the love God has for us. Now, there's some other sub-themes like the Trinity, the cross, devotion to Our Lady, the value of sacrifice and suffering. They're weaved through, but the ones that kept being repeated were Holy Communion, confession, adoration, praying for the dying, doing God's will was huge, and the love that God has for us. And so I made sure that I wove these themes throughout every month in the book. So you're not going to see them, you know, it's not obvious because I didn't want it to come across repetitive, mm-hmm. come across repetitive. So they're just weaved in very subtly, which really was a surprise to me, which is actually should be no surprise because what? All the great saints, apparitions that are approved, Lourdes, Fatima, what does she say? Go to confession, adore, do God's will. And there's some, you know, I wanted to focus on that were actually two I wanted to just share with you, Pete. What jumped out at me was the one about the dying, Pete. I really, you know, there's over a dozen times that our Lord came to her and told her to help her save souls. And he said he wanted her to go to a dying sinner and recite the chaplet. That chaplet, she said, quote, was very important for the dying. Another time, the guardian angel came to visit her while she was in the garden, and he said to pray for the dying. So she was praying the litany, and he stopped her, Pete, and he said to her, pray the chaplet. And then, again, like I said, over a dozen times, Jesus would tell her, you know, these souls need the chaplet, pray the chaplet. She also, because of this, really started to pray for her own death, her own death. So she would pray Psalm 130, and she said that I would pray the prayers for the dying. That popped up a lot, Pete, in the book with her and the sisters commenting about the prayers for the dying. And I was like, okay, where are they? But they were never mentioned. But what happened was back in 2002, my mother was dying, and she died that year. And my publisher said, our Sunday visitor said, can you put together something that would help people prepare for death? And so we have a book called Prayers, Promises, and Devotions that include in that book, Pete, what to do if somebody is sick, suffering, and dying. So that's, you know, I've been sharing that because those prayers for the dying were never mentioned. But we do have that. Well, you know, a lot of people, Pete, you see, you know, in waiting rooms or surgical waiting rooms, and you see them wringing their hands or staring out the window, just looking, you know, just worried. But we've got prayers that we could be saying for, you know, our loved ones if they're in surgery or going through a procedure, if they're sick, suffering, and dying. And the apostolic pardon is in there. So that dying theme, Pete, was repeated over a dozen times, and how important it is to pray for the dying in, you know, from our Lord to Faustina and, of course, to us. The other thing that, Pete, that really, really, really moved me was the love God has for us. As I was pouring through the diary over and over again in various ways, she would explain his love for us. And God would share, Jesus would share, you know, what his love meant and how he loved us. And I was so overwhelmed by this great love he has for us that, and you probably haven't noticed, but you will now, if you go to the end of every month, I made sure that we included those passages of his love for us and how he chose us out of millions of souls that don't exist. But he chose you, Pete, to be, you know, to be alive, and to, he wanted you to be with him for all eternity. And he could have picked any Pete Sox in the world, but he chose you because there was something about you and all your listeners that he wanted to have with him in heaven.
Right.
And this came through so overwhelmingly that we made sure that at the end of every month we end with his great love for you. So that really got me. Confession was huge. And so we talk about confession. In fact, one of the passages is, you know, confession, don't leave earth without it. And why it's the sacrament of conversion, you know, it's called the sacrament of forgiveness. You know, the priest absolves you. God grants the penitent pardon and sin. It's called the sacrament of reconciliation because it imparts the sinner the love of God who reconciles. So be reconciled to God. That was very powerful. And of course, again, which was repeated again over and over again, was doing God's will. In fact, we have, again, in the book, I point out how important it is, and it's, again, she repeats it over and over again, to do the will of God. Passage after passage, she teaches us what a difference it makes in our life on earth and in heaven. And so, we our own reserved seat, if you will, our own throne is waiting for us. But like the guests in the parable of the wedding banquet, Pete, we need proper attire. We need to cloak ourselves in doing God's will.
Right.
And of course, how do you avoid purgatory? The number one way to avoid purgatory is to do the will of God in all things.
So it's become obvious as we've talked through this interview today that you've done a ton of research went into this book. What stood out most to you as you're doing this research in St. Faustina's Diary and the Divine Mercy message? Was there anything that jumped out or surprised you?
I think what I was just sharing with you was his love. It brought tears to my eyes that he loves us more than anybody else, and he loves us more than anybody can. So it was his love and his mercy and how we were chosen to be created before the beginning of time, no matter what the circumstances were. We were in his mind, as Pope Benedict said in one of the books I've read, just forever. We were in his mind forever. And if we truly understood how much we're loved by God, I don't think there would be wars or crime or so much anger. So the book is filled with many important lessons that Faustina wants to share with you. Using these themes, she shows you how she grew closer to Christ in the Eucharist and how to develop a stronger, deeper prayer life, how to get along with others, how to trust God more. She shared the realities of heaven, hell, and purgatory, the love that the Blessed Mother has for you, and what are the virtues that are most dear to her. Do you want to take a guess at what those virtues are? I know I put you on the spot, but, you know, take a guess. It doesn't matter, or I'll just tell you what they are. Humility, the love of God, and purity. Those are the virtues that are closest to her and to God. She shares with you, you know, how to become the person you were called to be, and that you all have a mission, mm-hmm. In life, and how to fulfill that mission. So these were the things that were just, you know, that moved me, that I was able to impart to everyone. So it's my hope and my prayer for you and for me that we take Faustina's message to heart as we read it and reflect on it and pray it and live it day by day.
Right. You touched upon a couple of things there in the last two responses you gave that is rather interesting, and that's, you know, having that humility and being able to put into action and fulfill God's will for each of us. So how best can we accomplish that?
That's a good question, because, you know, I used to say that to myself. How do you, you know, what does it mean to do God's will? And in my book, we share that in many ways. She basically, the key to temporal and eternal happiness is doing God's will. And what does it look like? Obey the commandments and follow the Beatitudes. It's as simple as that.
We're going to take another quick break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up our discussion about St. Faustina, Day by Day with St. Faustina, 365 Reflections. We'll be right back.
I have a quiz for you. What is one of the greatest gifts parents can give to their children? It's something children ask for often. When this gift is received, the entire family is incredibly joyful and transformed on the special occasion of the arrival of this masterpiece. This gift calls for faith, courage, and generosity on the part of the givers. It lasts for many decades, only getting better, changing, and developing each day. This magnificent gift is unique and can never be repeated, but a similar gift can be added approximately every year. This gift can only be given by three persons agreeing and acting. Have you guessed it yet? Yes, this profound gift is that of welcoming another child. And the three persons agreeing are husband, wife, and God. I'm Jim Littleton, FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We've been spending the day with Susan Tassone in her book, Day by Day with St. Faustina, 365 Reflections. And Susan, one thing that I wanted to cover here, because obviously your book's based on it, is at one point in time, the diary of Faustina was forbidden. Can you tell us the details behind that and the role that St. John Paul II played in reversing that and basically making Faustina a household Catholic name and bringing the Divine Mercy message to what it is today?
Wow. You know, Pete, I don't think I have all the details of that. I just know back in the 60s, it was revisited. The diary was revisited because there was a misunderstanding in the translation.
Okay.
And once that was cleared up, then the floodgates of mercy opened up. And the diary was, was circulated. It was here in the United States. I think it was translated. When was it translated? You know, it wasn't translated in English until 1981. The first edition of the diary was printed in 1981. The ban was lifted banned. I think up until 1959, and then it was in 1978 that the ban was lifted. That's when I think it was Cardinal John Paul had reviewed it and realized that there were some errors in the translation. And then in 1981, the first edition of the diary was printed, and then everything was like on the fast track. In 1983, she was beatified, and then in 2000, she was the first canonized saint of the 21st century. And I mean, I didn't plan this, Pete, but I ended up being at her canonization. I didn't know she had plans, you know, other plans. I thought I was having a good time and it was fun to be there for canonization, but I had the great honor of writing about her works, and what I like about it, what's so exciting, is down the road, not too far from not too far in the distance, she's going to be a doctor of the church. So now we have these works, and during that canonization, That's when the Pope declared Divine Mercy Sunday, and that we gain an indulgence on that day. But remember this, people get this confused if you don't make me sharing this with you. Yes, the church imparts an indulgence on that day. But also, there's two things going on here. Jesus promises, his promise is that anybody that receives communion on that day and goes to confession, now they've extended it throughout Lent. You don't have to go to confession, you know, within 8 days of the, you know, of the feast day or on that feast day. Throughout all of Lent, if you go to confession and then receive communion on that day, all temporal punishment is removed from your soul. That's a mouthful. What does it mean? It means that you go to confession and the guilt is removed, and what's left over is the stain. And you work off that stain throughout life through works of mercy, through penance. So on the day of divine mercy, even the stain is removed. So your soul is the way it was on the day you were baptized. What happened to John Paul? He dies on that day. He has a direct route. So it's so powerful, you know, it's like a second baptism. And I don't know if people understand that, but each year I try to, you know, make it a point to, well, I always make it a point to remind my family it's taken years to take advantage of this grace. It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is removed. Because if you don't remove that stain here on earth, you're going to have to work it off in that workshop called purgatory, and you don't want to go there. So that's, I hope that answers your question. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. So looking at this book from 10,000 foot view, it's a daily devotional, and much like New Year's resolutions, people start off well, and then, you know, they end up falling off. So what advice can you give to listeners, for us, for someone who struggles with reading something on a daily basis?
Yeah, the book, Pete, is not only meant to be read day by day. You're not obligated to do this. It means that you can open the book and read something in a bite-sized piece, one nugget of wisdom at a time. And some people like a day-by-day dose of wisdom, and others like more than that. So some will pick up the book and open it to any page to be inspired, and you can choose a certain time of the year to pick it up too. Or as I have, I've sat and read the whole book, you know, from going from day to day, page to page. So you could really use the book however you like, as a mm-hmm. daily devotional, or to follow the liturgical seasons, or just pick it up and read it as the Spirit leads you. That's what's so good about this book, is Faustina's words and our reflections are not measured by days. I hope that answers your, mm-hmm. your question.
Yeah.
It frees you up. It gives you permission. It's okay to flip through it. You know what I found, if you don't mind me sharing this with you, Pete?
Sure, go ahead.
You know, I've been, you know, speaking and been on the circuit talking about the book, and everybody shares with me how they open the book up to their birthday. Now, did you do that, Pete?
Well, as a book reviewer, I didn't really do that. I actually read it the whole way through.
Well, I'm glad. Thank goodness. But yeah, a lot of people pick it up, and the first thing they look at is their birthday. Now, that I didn't plan on it, but obviously it has some meaning to them, and I get tickled by that. You know, why people do things with day by days. But I'm just, you know, you can go to the diary at any point. Oh, the other thing, that was another thing I wanted to mention, is that so it walks you through the treasury of the diary with the major teachings and her insights and the revelations in terms of how to fulfill your mission on earth and trust in God. And you can go to the diary at any point and look up the passages that pique your interest when you're reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you to those passages in a deeper way as well. Anything that piques your interest or you want to know more about, that also helps you to do that too.
Yeah. And just so those of us listening have an understanding of what this book's about, you know, there's a lot of stuff in here. But one that jumped out at me, and I have a list of them, but one of them that really jumped out at me was the reflection you had for August 10th.
And, August 10th, okay.
And that's where Faustina says in Diary 1358, Where there is genuine virtue, there must be sacrifice as well. And you gave a reflection about tying this to building up a muscle. You know, when you're exercising, you know, we're told we're actually tearing muscles to build them stronger. And, you know, you bring out the point that there's no shortcuts, no exceptions. And I thought that was really, really neat how you tied that into something a little more modern, so to say. But again, that quote, where there is genuine virtue, there must be sacrifice as well. That really struck me.
Thank you. That's beautiful, Pete. And again, what I'm seeing, what was repeated over and over again in the diary, is that Jesus told Faustina that that her purpose and ours was to become united with him through love, so as to reconcile earth with heaven. And he says to her, "I need your sufferings." And he says, in fact, I'm sure this is somewhere in the book as well, but he says this: "I need of your sufferings. I have need of your sufferings to rescue souls. There is but one price at which souls are bought, and that is suffering. United to my sufferings on the cross, you will join your prayers, your fast, your mortifications, your labors, and all sufferings to my prayer, fasting, mortifications, labor, and sufferings, and then they will have power before my Father. Help me, daughter, to save souls. Join your sufferings to my passion and offer them to the Heavenly Father for sinners." So she's telling you the effectiveness of joining in this same thing, you know, your sacrifices to his, that it will bring sinners to conversion. And there's another passage about how because of your sacrifices and your sufferings, it shackles Satan and snatches many souls from his clutches.
Mm. Wow.
That's how powerful. That's October 17th, Pete. And that's how we talk about how, you know, that image. We talk about the image of shackling and snatching. And that's because of your sacrifices and your sufferings. And then there's one other one in line with that one that I talked about, Pete, on EWTN. Somebody asked me, what does Faustina have to say about, you know, suffering for those that suffer? And on February 26th, she says, "Oh, my Jesus, I know that in order to be useful to souls, one has to strive for the closest possible union with you. One word from a soul united to God effects more good in souls than eloquent discussions and sermons from an imperfect soul." So this is the reflection, if you don't mind me sharing with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon for those who are elderly to ask themselves and others, "Why am I still here?" St. Faustina, who though young had her own serious health problems, offers the answer. Souls closest to our Lord are the souls most helpful to others. Though bedbound, housebound, mentally or physically limited in so many ways, they are, quote, prayer warriors. They are a gift, a treasure. Their prayers, including and especially the offering up of their suffering for others, are powerful blessings for all of us. They do, you know, shackle and snatch souls. So much I was moved by this, Pete, that I dedicated the book to the sick and the suffering because those were Faustina's favorite people.
Mm. You know, the one thing I have to say about this book as we wind down is it's an absolutely perfect springboard into the diary. You mentioned it earlier about how you have these snippets taken from it, and then you, mm-hmm. you tell where it's at in the diary, and I think that's just fantastic. And if you've ever tried to read the diary and have struggled with it, unable to get through it, I highly recommend this book, Day by Day with Susan, with St. Faustina by Susan Tassone, to get you through the diary, and it's fantastic, Susan. Thank you for writing it.
Pete, it was a delight. Thank you for having me.
So that's all we have time for today. Susan, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and spending with us. Two things. First, where can people find Day by Day with St. Faustina, 365 Reflections?
Pete, I always say, first, you know, charity begins at home. And I would support EWTN Religious Catalog. I would support your local Catholic bookstores. And, of course, there's always Amazon.
And any closing thoughts?
I would say what, you know, somebody asked me, I think it was Jeanette Bankovic, you know, what same thing. She said, what do you have to say about Faustina? I had done the show with her. And I, any last lines, and I would say this, go about doing good. That's what she did. Do good, have mercy, go to confession, say your rosary, and they'll take care of the rest.
Fantastic. With that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and until next time, God bless.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love.